Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I feel like I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Broken bat, singled into center field. From third comes Riley. Here comes Darnell. He will score, and this game is tied. On the ground by the first baseman into right. From third base comes Riley. To third goes Peterson, and this game is tied at four. Travis Darnell drives in the tying run for Atlanta. It's a fly ball to center field. Lorenzo Cain going back at the wall. Freddie Freeman's left the yard and put the Braves on top in the bottom of the eighth with a solo shot to left center. They lead it 5-4 in game four of the NLDS. Freddie Freeman and the Atlanta Braves are heading to the National League Championship Series.
What a night last night at Truist Park. How about this, Atlanta? Okay, are you going to drink the Kool-Aid? Because that bandwagon is all fired up. I am going to have to pace myself over the next 4 hours. Hugh Douglas, God love you, Hugh. You shouldn't be up at this hour of the morning streaming the show. But if you are, I know that you booked your vacation a long time ago, and you booked it around the fact the Falcons had a bye week. And totally understandable, by the way. It's a perfect week for you to take a vacation. But, boy, man, do you're missing out this morning, bud. Oh, man, are we going to be celebrating something, I guess. Or are we celebrating prematurely? Is this enough? Or do we got something special brewing? Hey, look, there's no reason we can't celebrate today about what happened last night, what happened in this series. No, it's not the end of anything. We understand that. And some people are, they get it all in their feelings. Well, we can't celebrate yet because, we still have two more series to go, which is true, by the way, and potentially, I guess. But at the same time, it's okay to celebrate something like what happened last night and Freddie Freeman off Josh Hader in the ninth inning with two outs. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Again, Hugh's on vacation this week, so I got Oren, I got Abe, and I got all of you, Atlanta. Okay, everybody that's streaming on Odyssey.com. We got plenty of time today to sit here and talk to you about all of the comings and goings of the Atlanta Braves, and now a return to the NLCS in a year where I think a lot of us thought that, midway through the year, exactly, that's my point. All right, we got a lot to get into here. The Braves do rally. They, again, never quit. They go down 2-0, and then they battle back to tie it at 2-2. Milwaukee comes right back with that big 500,000-foot home run. It's 4-2. Braves claw their way back into it. Milwaukee decides to push Josh Hader in the eighth inning. That looked like, at first I went, why are you putting Hader in a 4-4 game? I mean, what happens if the Braves take the lead? And I thought, well, they're probably not going to. Oh, yeah, they are going to take the lead. Yeah, you've already burned Boxberger. Freddie's running the base. I'm going, you've burned Boxberger? You've burned Hader? Braves are ahead? Boy, I like our chances an awful lot. Yeah, what a night last night as the Braves win 3-1 over the Milwaukee Brewers. I had a good feeling going into this series that the Braves were going to win this series. I just thought they were the better team than Milwaukee. The lineup, thank God for Jock Peterson. I mean, thank God for him because he's the guy that kind of saved you. The great starting pitching you got. The decision to start Charlie Morton last night, he looked like he had a little bit of gas on him early, and then he ran out of gas pretty quickly. But the good news, there's more good news than this, okay? We never want to root for the Dodgers around here, but the Dodgers did the Braves a huge favor last night. If you weren't up for it late last night, the Dodgers jumped on the Giants early and beat them 7-2 at Chavez Ravine. Okay, what does this mean? It means they're going to have to play Game 5 in San Francisco on Thursday. And as a result, the Braves are going to get a little bit of a breather here. Game 1 of the NLCS is not till Saturday. Now Max Fried obviously going to have to start Game 1. On Saturday, whether that's here against the Dodgers or in San Francisco against the Giants, we don't know yet. We won't know till sometime, late Thursday night, and Braves will be flying on Friday or staying home on Friday. But Max will start Game 1. Charlie Morton could start Game 2. There's no reason he couldn't. You'll have plenty. You'll have 4 full days of rest. He could start Game 2. Now, Brian Snicker may decide to start Ian Anderson in Game 2 and use Charlie in Game 3. He could do that, too, because there would be enough time between Game 3 and Game 7 to start Charlie Morton in games 3 and 7. You follow what I'm saying? So if you could tinker with it a little bit here, But there's no reason you couldn't start Charlie Morton in Game 2 if you wanted to start Charlie in Game 2. So the Dodgers did the Braves a big favor. The other side of the ledger last night, Houston hammered the White Sox. The White Sox were out there complaining about, you know, Houston cheating and everything like that. And we all said, well, no, who knows. And Houston decided to take it out and beat them 10-1. So the American League Championship Series is set. It will open Friday. Boston Red Sox, Houston Astros in the ALCS. So you got a wild card team and you got the Houston Astros who are, you know, right there with the Dodgers, best team in baseball, you know, from a lineup perspective and whatnot. And, of course, the Braves against either the Dodgers or Giants on Saturday. So a lot to get into here. I do want to offer congratulations early this morning to the real reason that the Braves won this game last night. Because the real reason the Braves won this game last night was because one Orin James Romain went to the game. Congratulations, Orin. I just want to offer that up.
I'm sorry, I have food in my mouth right now. I'm kind of like you, Douglas. We're talking about 15 minutes about
wait, are you making food? Are you, like, washing dishes and making bacon?
No bacon. No dishes being washed. Just I got a mouthful of a cookie right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you might be a little bit hungry. I mean, yeah, you didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night, I don't imagine.
No, I didn't, John. Not a lot of sleep at all last night. Not going to lie. I sort of just... I don't know what time I went to bed. All I know is this morning I just sort of woke up. My alarm went off, and I was like, well, I guess at some point I fell asleep last night. All right, I guess we're getting the day going.
And you went, you know, there was a lot made on the show, for those of you who don't know. The last time, you know, when Orin goes to big games, the teams tend to lose. And so we were talking about it before the game last night. We said, hey, go. You're going to be fine. And, Orin, I told you to go. You were going to be fine. I just had a sense you were going to be fine. I thought the Braves were winning last night from the jump. It's one of those weird games where Milwaukee went up 2-0, I went, eh. And the Braves tied it, and I went, yeah. Milwaukee went up 4-2, and I went, eh. And the Braves tied it, and I went, yeah. Okay. I mean, I just never felt like I was really stressed last night that Milwaukee was going to win this game. I thought the Braves were winning. They were going to find a way to win. At 4-4, they were going to find a way to win. They had a chance to bat last. Somebody was going to come up with a big hit. They were going to do something. The Braves had plenty of chances to blow that game wide open and just couldn't quite get the clutch hit here. Yes, we'll get into all that. We'll get into the Braves and the heroes of the Braves, and we'll probably have to talk a little bit about Adam Duvall's non-call pop-out that hit the dirt and the stupid rule. We'll have to get into all that little bit later today. So we'll do that. The impact of Soler's COVID test. Could he come back for the NLCS? Yeah, I guess he could. Forced the Braves to make lineup changes yesterday. So you're juggling lineups. Brian Snicker, the night before, we made a lot about this yesterday morning, had said he wasn't sure what he was going to do in terms of Jock Peterson in the lineup and whether he was going to start Charlie Morton or Wasker and Noah. He kind of pulled some of the right moves, I think. Charlie, you know, Wasker came in. Wasker did not look like he was equal to the task. I don't know. If you start Wasker or Noah last night, are we talking about winning this morning? Because he looked like he was a little overhyped last night. And then, of course, the whole Jock thing kind of fell on his lap when Soler tested positive and you had to start jumbling the lineup anyway. And you moved Dansby to the top. And I saw Dansby at the top, and I thought right at the beginning when I saw the lineup, the rejiggered lineup, I thought, Dansby, this was just kind of my first take, was Dansby leading off, if it's just for this game or for a couple of games, might be a really good thing because it might jumpstart him. Maybe he sees, you know, better pitches than you do when you're batting eighth in front of the pitcher, right? I mean, when you're batting eighth in front of the pitcher, one of the things is true is your pitch selection usually is pretty sloppy because you got the pitcher behind you. So maybe he sees better pitches in the leadoff spot when Freddie Freeman is behind you. You know, you don't want to walk Dansby, and sure enough, I think he had better swings last night, and so maybe that'll kind of bring him out of his, issues that he's been having a little bit at the plate. I mean, he's not scuffling like he was at the beginning of the year, but he hasn't been exactly Dansby-like lately, and of course, he leads off the game and smokes that double into the gap, and I thought, yep, there you go. So that's all a good thing. It's all good right now with the Atlanta Braves, because it's all gravy, too. So a lot of your calls today, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into what you think about the Braves whether there's something kind of brewing here a little bit with this team. I know, Abe, I wanted to bring you in here just early in the show because I know that you and I have been kind of public there on Twitter last night about your feelings about Brian Snicker. Do you think in the end that he made some of the right calls? Oh, not yet? Oh, okay. I will say this publicly. Everybody knows that I've been on shaky. Okay, everybody knows. And sure enough, he gave up a hit to start the inning last night. But I will say this. Will Smith has been pretty much locked down the last couple of weeks. Yeah, it's been shaky at times. But I tell you what, man, you know what? He's gotten it done. There are no blown saves out there over the last number of important games, too. I mean, we're talking clinching games in the NL East. We're talking clinching games in the NLDS. I tip my hat to him. I mean, and so, you know, on that Will Smith train right now, there's no question about that. Abe, you still mad at Brian? Because I know you had questioned some of the things Brian Snicker had done.
I was a little feisty the first five innings yesterday, first six innings.
Yeah, you were spicy, yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, obviously, any decision-making that I disagree with is covered up by the victory. I think we all wake up or went to bed last night, wake up this morning, all extremely happy and not really caring about some of the decisions that I felt were the wrong ones to go with. So let that be known. First of all, I'm not criticizing the team, the manager, anything. We're all happy here today. And I think we also got, as you referenced earlier, we got a big boost out of the other divisional series going five games. The option now of what you do with Charlie Morton, which I actually have some thoughts on that. I'm not sure I would start him game two. I might throw him in game three, depending on where the games are and who the opponent is and all that stuff. But that's for Friday or when we figure out who our opponent is. So I still think things probably not where I would have gone with the starting pitching. I guess some people thought Morton was great. Some people thought what he showed was the reason you shouldn't have started him. I think you can justify the idea of, well, Enoa came in and immediately gave up a two-run bomb. I think it's different coming in midway through a game 2-2 than it is starting a game 0-0. And I say, hey, how's it any different? It's both tie scores. I just think it's a different feel. There's a reason you very rarely see young starters turn into good relievers in the playoffs after having only a short stint there at the end of the season. I'm not sure I would have gone to Enoa at all yesterday. So there's a couple of questions. I have a couple more to say, but the good news is, John, the Braves won. The Braves advanced. They start fresh in the NLCS on Saturday, and we get to have a little mini party for the next couple days about that.
All right, here's what's going to happen on the show today. We're going to do a little mash with Oren once he's done eating his cookie, and then we're going to get into the Braves. The show is predominantly Braves today, as you would probably have guessed. We're going to be taking a lot of your calls this morning and your reaction on the Twitter as well, asking you about kind of where we're headed with this thing with the Braves now that they have beaten the Milwaukee Brewers and claimed the NLDS and returned back to the NLCS for the second straight year. It's all ahead on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game at Odyssey.com. It's from the ballpark last night were classic. You were having a rock and roll time.
I was going through it, John Frick.
Man, you were going through it. And the atmosphere, and you were giving us kind of like what the pulse of the crowd last night through the text line.
If you guys want to see some of those texts, you can follow me at Oren Romain. That's O-R-I-N-R-O-M-A-I-N, at Oren Romain. You can see some of my my highs and lows, my peaks and valleys last night. There was never a plateau with me last night. Everything was either up or down.
But here's the one issue I have with it. All right, you ready? Okay.
All right, go ahead, John.
We were behind. Since you were live, television was behind you.
That's right. I'm sorry.
So when you're tweeting about Freddie's home run, because you start doing garble, and I know when Oren tweets stuff like garble, something big just happened, okay? So Oren starts tweeting garble because he just reaches down and just starts garble. I'm just hitting button.
Banging buttons.
Because he's excited. And I'm going, okay. I get like a 8-second delay. And I'm going, I guess something happened just here. And then
just dig in like, well, what am I
about watching the garble come in going, oh, what just happened here?
There was need for garble after that home run.
And then as soon as he hit it, it was no doubt because I knew what the garble meant. It was like he hit it and I went, oh, he just homered.
Yeah. The angle, so I was in the 300 level over by the Xfinity rooftop last night, and the angle I was at, like, you could tell and you could see when an outfielder knew that he wasn't going to get a home run, like the Rowdy Tellez one, like, God bless I think that was Heredia was in center field then. God bless him. Because he acted like he was going to get that ball. And that hit in the waterfall. That's how far out that one went. And then the Freddie one, like you're watching it, and you're watching Yelich just kind of go back like, yeah, bro, no, that's not coming back. Just go ahead and start going the other way. So it was to see Freddie live, like I went and watched the replay afterwards, but like to see that emotion from that far away, you could feel it. Like we've seen Freddie happy before. We've seen Freddie excited before, but like the level of excitement he had last night was it was unmatched. It was one of those things that you don't get a chance to see very often in sports because guys just don't have – I mean, that's what makes those moments great is because they don't happen all the time. And when they do happen, it's something to be – it's something to cherish. It's something to witness. It's something to be there live to kind of watch. And, yeah, just the energy, the excitement he had, like all the guys coming out the dugout after he did it, Freddie doing the curtain call, like it was – I kind of had to catch myself for a second because I was like, I wanted to cheer, but at the same time, I was like, I don't believe what I just saw.
Yeah, didn't we see the maybe Abe can correct me. I want to make sure I have it correct. Jason Stark, baseball expert, tweeting out that Freddie Freeman is the only left-handed hitter in all of baseball through all the time who has two home runs off Josh Hader. The only one. Only left-handed hitter to have two home runs off Josh Hader. And it looked for a while like Josh Hader was unhittable.
He mowed through Dansby. Oof. And just he mowed through Rosario, and Freddie came up and first pitch. Freddie did not wait around to work a count. The first pitch he saw was right where he wanted it to be, right where he needed it to be, and Freddie took it to where it needed to go, which was out of the ballpark. And it was I'm having problems right now describing how indescribable it was. But as the game started, a buddy I went with, he went the day before for the afternoon game, the early afternoon game. And he was saying maybe because of the holiday, but he said the 1 o'clock game, everybody was kind of lathered up. Everybody was excited. Everybody was in their seat. It took a minute, I think, for the 5 p.m. crowd to sort of get into it. But I don't know if that's because – I wouldn't say because it was a late arriving crowd. Like there was a very good number of people in the stands when the game started, but it just I could tell, and I even tweeted this too. I called it Lemon Booty. There was a bit of like anxiety and apprehension. It almost seemed like from this because it just the sort of the stakes of this game right now. Like you win this here, mm-hmm. You close out this series at home, and you could tell the fans they felt the tightness of that. So as the first couple innings went along, that first inning from Charlie Morton wasn't the most ideal start. He was able to get out of it without giving up any runs, but he got comfortable in the second and the third inning, and you could tell the fans started to loosen up a little bit. They wanted to see some runs. Didn't happen in the first one. Dansby hit that ground rule double, got stranded at third, and you stranded another runner at second base in the second inning. So they were waiting for something to happen, and then when it happened, you know, in response to what Milwaukee did, and then Milwaukee went up again, and there was another response, so it was just weird sort of like highs and lows of the crowd to like.
Well, plus it was a really long game. I mean, it was almost 4 hours long.
Yeah, I turned.
I mean, it was a long game.
I turned to the guy that I was standing next to in the section, and I looked at him and I go, man, it's 6:20 and we play not three whole innings of baseball right now.
Yeah, it was a long, long game. But you know what? Good night. And here's the cool thing about it, Orin. No matter what, you know, throughout your life, you know, I mean, you know, 40 years from now, 30 years from now, you can't take that moment away from you. I was there when Freddie hit the home run to beat the Brewers. You know, I mean, you when you're witness to stuff like that throughout your life, you know, it's so cool to have that, to be able to say that, because you know you were there for part of it, you know. Well, you know, somebody comes up to you and goes, well, how do you know that Freddie Freeman was the best first baseman ever in the Braves? You know, I mean, you know, that was so long ago. You go, because I was there. I saw it.
Saw the career, you know? And saw that moment. And pay him whatever he wants. Just
we'll get into that later. That's coming up. Yeah,
you know, Abe had a very good question this morning. Maybe we'll get into it.
Pay the man. I know. We'll get into that.
If there was ever a pay that man his money moment.
Yes.
Freddie had it last night.
Yeah. Well, there's that. Okay, write the check. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Just write the check now.
So what else you got in the morning match? Anything else?
I got some sound here. Let's do some sound. Lane Kiffin making his grand return to Knoxville this weekend. Good old Lane. Left in the dead of the night. And from what I understand, too, the way he left, like he had to leave in somewhat secrecy when he left Tennessee to take that job with the
USC.
That job with USC. Yeah, had to leave in the night and sort of disappear and all that good stuff. Well, he's making his return this weekend. Lane, though, the troll that he is, took the opportunity to take a shot at Tennessee, and I want you to listen to this, and I'll let you see if you can find where the shot he takes is.
You know, we can't overlook, you know, because one play at the end of the game goes your way that we see all the time, you know, last second field goal goes in or out, and all of a sudden one team's figured everything out and program's on the rise, and the other team, you know, doesn't know how to win. So we got a lot of work to do. And getting ready for a challenging place to play that someone said on the way in, you know, is on schedule to be their first sellout in years. So very loud place, especially at night, and a team that's playing extremely well. Two conference blowouts in a row and lightening up on offense. So this is going to be extremely challenging.
Are you still bitter about that field goal, huh?
Well, not just that, but said it's going to be their first sellout in years, and Lane's not wrong. Tennessee has not officially sold out Neyland Stadium since September 24th of 2016. They have not eclipsed the 90,000-seat ticket barrier this entire season. So Lane's like, yeah. Well
they haven't had a reason to. I mean, in defensive balls fans, I mean, you know, you got to put a product on the field. I mean, it's that simple, and they haven't done that. Now, with Hendon Hooker and Josh Heupel, maybe I undersold that Josh Heupel was the right hire. You know, that White decided to go with this guy from UCF, and I thought, really? I mean, does Josh Heupel? And well, you know what? If nothing else, Josh Heupel's put together an offense that, look, I don't know what Tennessee will be the remainder of the year, but when Georgia and Alabama and Ole Miss play them, and they'll play them, you're going to see an offense there that is pretty darn good. I'll tell you, they can move the ball.
They're not an afterthought in the SEC East like people originally thought after, you know, all the transfers they had after last year.
Right.
The new coach and the new – just it was sort of perplexing, but they're not the doormat. That
are they going to paint the rock? That's all I want to know. Are you big Orange fans going to paint the rock? I mean, because that's what they did to Kiffin. I mean, the rock – we should get the old photos of the rock with Kiffin. Oh, man. That was like, you know, Twitter before Twitter, I guess.
Yeah. That's how you spread information and news right there, yeah.
Oh, man. Petty rock. Hoo-hoo. Wow. Yeah.
Lane's going to get a sellout, though, in old Neyland, though. Let's do one more cut here. Was going to play this yesterday. Didn't I get a chance to. Urban Meyer, down there in Jacksonville, God bless Urban, has a formula for what he thinks it's going to take for his Jacksonville Jaguars to win a football game. And, I mean, it's not the wrong formula, but the problem is this has only been done, like, a handful of times in NFL history.
I spend most of my time on offense and kicking game, and I'm not because of me, but I think Bevel's, you know, I like our identity right now. If you say what's the identity of the Jacksonville Jaguar offense, it's a physical offense that runs the ball and balance. You know, our goal is always 250, 250. I want to say we were 250, 200.
250 passing, 250 rushing. That's been done, I think, 20-something times in NFL history. 20-something times.
In a game. Never in a season or anything like that. I mean, yeah, in a game. Yeah, no, that's not – yeah, no. I swear the guy is still stuck at Ohio State and he thinks he's playing Rutgers. I really do. I think that's what he thinks. Well, but he's playing the Dolphins, so maybe he's not overly wrong here. Maybe he's thinking he can go to London because they're playing the London game this week. Well, I'm sure that London is thrilled to have the Miami Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars. London's probably looking at that going, we just had the Jets and Falcons and the Jaguars and Dolphins. Heck, the Falcons were the best team to go over to London. But there's more London games, I think, right, this year? There's more than this, right? I think they're getting more. Anyway, we're going to get into our question about the Braves next. We're going to be talking to you about, does this stop here, or is this something special? As we revel in the victory over the Milwaukee Brewers, is there something brewing for the Atlanta Braves? Next on the Morning Show.
Freddie Freeman and the Atlanta Braves are heading to the National League Championship Series.
Sitting there thinking, God, this couldn't, I mean, you couldn't script this any better. Have Freddie Freeman hit a go-ahead homer off probably the best closer in the game.
No, you couldn't script it much better for Brian Snicker and the Braves. And not only that, but how about you get a 3-1 win in Game 4, so you don't have to play a Game 5 and go back to Milwaukee, which means you get a rest. You also get a Dodgers win last night, which forces them to play a Game 5 back in San Francisco on Thursday. No, I mean, you really couldn't script it much better than this. All of it is kind of laying out in front of you, which makes you kind of wonder a little bit here. Being the underdog the Braves are, they came into the playoffs as the team with the worst record of the postseason. And, boy, you know what was interesting is they bothered to mention that, didn't they, in the postgame on the TV last night. You guys had the worst record of the – you know, what happened? Oh, really? Okay. Well, boy, sometimes I just want to shake my head. I really do. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Hugh's on vacation. He's missing out on all this fun here. Big question for you to be talking to us about. I'm going to open up the phone lines early and talk to you about it here in just a moment. But just to that point, the question, you guys had the worst record in all of baseball, and yet you're here. He's like, how the hell did you guys do this? It's amazing. I can't believe you actually did this. You guys aren't any good, and yet you're – all right, that's the intonation, okay? You shouldn't be here. You know, did you bother to look from the time that the Braves kind of turned it on, maybe from like the 1st of August after the trade deadline to now, do the Braves really have the worst record in baseball, or did they just struggle in the first half of the year? I mean, considering what they did on the stretch when they went on the road to San Francisco and to San Diego, and they went out west and had to play, 21 games or something ridiculous like that, you know, on the road or something. Did you bother to look at what they were able to do to the Mets and to the Phillies and to the Nationals, to everybody in the – did you – okay. They went 3-1 against the Brewers here. This team is legit. But having said that, the expectation wasn't much from all of us here in Atlanta, and this is the fair part of that question. Well, I would probably phrase it differently because we didn't have a whole lot of expectation once the season started to kind of go sideways on us early. Let's not go back to the losing skids or being 7.5 back at the Phillies or that whole, I don't know, it seemed like a month where we only one loss. I mean, oh my God, you know, back and forth, couldn't get the bullpen. I was forever tweeting, you know, the bullpen tweets, it seemed, throughout the first half of the year, and yet it all coalesced behind Brian Snicker. So the question becomes, as we sit here this morning, does this season for the Braves stop here? Is this the Freddie Freeman high watermark? You couldn't have scripted it any better? Or is that the pinnacle of the year? Is this stop here? Or is this something special that we are now witness to, and this is just the beginning of that special? We're going to be asking you that question throughout the day here as we talk to you about the Braves at 404-741-0929. So I want to begin by asking Orin and Abe that question. Now, Orin, I want to start with you because you have a unique perspective because you, unlike Abe and I, Abe had a soccer game and I was, you know, on my butt here in the easy chair. You were there. Was that the high water mark, what happened with Freddie last night? Was that, you know, I mean, if it is, we're good with that. I understand that. But is this stop here or is this the beginning? Is there something here happening for this Braves team that could we win the World Series?
At this point, I mean, yeah, you can win the World Series.
I mean, technically, you can.
Technically,
of course,
you can. I mean, you're
I mean,
at the
I understand
right
the technical. I understand the technical. There are two teams that win the World Series. Demonstrably, the best team in the game that is just going to snowball and roll everybody, or the team that's just got whatever that little weird it X factor is. You know that. How many times did the Braves lose a World Series to a team that, like the Minnesota Twins? Yeah, of course, you got to be a little bit older to remember that. Where the Twins went out and won a World Series, and you went, huh? What the hell was that?
Or the next year it was the
Blue Jays. You know, I mean, yeah, you know, huh? You know, the Braves had that little extra something, you know, that there's something there. Maybe it's the no quit or whatever that little special extra factor is. Do you think that this Braves team, compared to like the last 3 years, like or even compared to last year when they went to the NLCS against the Dodgers, does this team have a little bit of something that's special to it? I'm not asking you to invent anything. I'm just asking you if you get that sense.
I texted you guys last night that something that I'm going to repeat, and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but this team has balls. It's just what it is, man. Like, they just – like, there's something about the idea that they are never out of anything. Last night, this season, the pennant race. So, by virtue of that, like, I guess just by them showing up, like, just the will that this team has to win. And I'm not saying that their will is – I'm not saying that other teams out there don't have wills to win. But it's something about this team's will to win. Like, you just can't – you can't count them out. And – you saw that last night. You've seen this season. Like, they've embraced that mentality of, if you want to count us out, go ahead and count us out. But, you know, we got something to say. We got something to show you. So, yeah, I hope last night wasn't the pinnacle of it. I mean, no offense, but as great as last night was, winning a World Series title combined with what happened last night would be that much sweeter. So, yeah, I want this thing to keep going. I want this team to keep winning.
All right, Abe, you're with me, right?
I am.
Okay. You and I have there's a stupid, schlocky movie that you and I both have seen a number of times for whatever reason that we share in common, and that's a movie called Jeepers Creepers 2. It's a horror film. So the creeper comes flying out of the corner. It's stupid. It's hokey, and I don't know why I've seen it like 10 times, but
Jeepers.
I have. So at the end of the film, Ray Wise, I'm total spoiler, but if you haven't seen it, who cares? Ray Wise, who's the kind of the semi-hero of the whole thing, actor Ray Wise, shoots the creeper with a gigantic, bow, and kills it, and it goes down on the ground, and one of the other actresses who's being chased by this thing says, "Is it dead?" And Ray Wise says, "I think so." I get that impression with the Braves. Are they dead? I think so. In other words, and of course, the creeper's not dead, and neither are the Braves. Is there something special with this team that, you know, is there that kind of you can't kill them kind of thing going on with this club?
You going to make me do this to everyone on a celebration Wednesday?
Well, no, you do you. I mean, we're going to be asking everybody out there in Atlanta this, so yeah.
So you beat the Brewers. Like, I mean, if we're going to be honest here, so you beat the Brewers. They were ripe for the picking, all right? They got no offense except for Rowdy Tellez, and you match up well with them ace for ace, 1-2-3 down the line. You got a great start from Ian Anderson, and the bullpen was good, as they have been for about 2.5 months. That's great. You're facing a 105 or a 107-win team next round. And I'm being honest, I think the Astros are coming out of the ALCS. They hit the ball like the Dickens. So, I mean, look. I would feel okay about facing the Giants. I still don't understand how the Giants have won 107 games, or Logan Webb or Kevin Gausman are doing what they're doing, but they are doing what they're doing, and so whatever. But I mean, we talk about the Braves getting past the Phillies. The Phillies suck. The Phillies suck. And so, yeah, we got past the Brewers. Like, we all picked the Braves to get past the Brewers. Like, not all of us, but a lot of us picked the Braves to get past it. That was the one team that was ripe for the picking. And because MLB doesn't reorganize their playoffs, we lucked out with the Giants and Dodgers facing off, and we get the Brewers, and that's great. So we're all happy to be here, but do I think this is a team of destiny, and they just, no matter how many times you hit them, they keep getting back up? This isn't Rocky Ivan Drago. Like, they've done well. That's great. Like, I'm happy for them, but they're missing some major pieces, and I don't think they have what it takes to win the World Series this year. I hope I'm wrong. Like, every time I pick against any of these teams, I hope I'm wrong. But unfortunately, John, I mean,
no, you don't.
Brewers
have
to, are one thing.
Look,
the Giants
this
and
is
Dodgers
fine. Okay,
are something different.
The question is an option: this stop here or something special. The fact that you're saying this stop here, the only reason you're kind of bloviating on it is because you're being defensive, because you don't want to get called out, because you're just being honest. I understand your desire to be a little bit defensive, you know, especially in the face of what you expect to be an overwhelming response of this is something special. I get that. I mean, but there's nothing wrong with saying this stops here for some of the reasons that you laid out.
I mean, still not sure it stops here against the Giants.
And by the way, if you get the Dodgers, you do have one slight advantage with the Dodgers. You get home field. And so that may mean something against the Dodgers.
And Kershaw's hurt. That helps too.
And Kershaw's hurt. So, I mean, yeah, that may mean something. And you've got a little bit of get back from last year from 3-1. And so, and by the way, this team, one of the things I started to see last night, and this is one of the things you want to lean on a little bit if you're a Braves fan. I know this because we all do. I've been, you know, putting out this hashtag that I've just been, just hit baby. And if they can just hit baby, if Freddie Freeman gets ignited by what happened last night, and we go into another series, and Freddie becomes Freddie, and Dansby going to the top of the order ignites him a little bit with that, you know, solid ringing double, and he had a couple of other hard hit balls last night. You know, I mean, maybe the team starts hitting, because one thing they didn't do against the Brewers was hit. And so, except for pinch hitters, you know, and thank God for Rosario coming in and doing what he did last night. I don't undersell the broken bat two-run single from Eddie Rosario in a pinch hit last night as to how big that was for that game. It was huge. And so, what an at-bat for Eddie Rosario, so tip your hat to him, okay? Taken out of the lineup in favor of Jock Peterson, and he played Jock Peterson's role last night off the bench. Great two-strike, broken bat, two-run single for Eddie Rosario. All right, so if this team starts to hit, yeah, bring on the Dodgers. The Braves start, you know, in a six- or seven-game series, suddenly the Braves hit 12 or 13 home runs. They got a pretty good chance, and that team could do this. We know that. They've got that in them. Like they could hit 15 home runs. They're a booming team that isn't booming right now. Adam Duvall can start booming the ball. I mean, you can start. Travis d'Arnaud can hit a few home runs. How about, you know, right? Some more questions about this. My brother had kind of a hot takey thing. My brother did. Wait to hear my brother's hot take on this. And the stupid rule last night. We got to get into that next.